Hello and welcome to Beyond the Back Page on New FM with myself, Patrick Donohue. The Republic of Ireland's women's soccer team kept their chances of qualifying for the next World Cup alive after a record-breaking 11-0 win over Georgia on Tuesday night. To reflect on this incredible performance, I'm delighted to be joined on the show today by Ireland's all-time top scorer Olivia O'Toole. Olivia scored an incredible 54 goals at international level, and I'm delighted to say Olivia is joining me on the line. Olivia, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Hi Patrick, and good evening.
I was watching the coverage. Unfortunately, I didn't make it out to Tala last night, but watching the coverage beforehand, the pundits were saying, I think it was Lisa Fallon was predicting a 4-0 win, but 11-0, it was a really, really incredible performance by the Irish girls.
It was absolutely phenomenal. I was watching that myself. Unfortunately, I couldn't make the match myself. I was in work, but I was watching on the telly and I was listening to the analysts before the game. And me too, I was under the impression I said 3-4-0 myself, but then when you see it was 4-0 at half time, you knew it was going to be a score that was probably going to break a record, if you know what I mean. Because Georgia, when you think about it, they're ranked 145 in the world and Ireland is 34, so people were expecting a 4 or 5-0, but when you get that score, it's phenomenal. I don't think it'll ever happen again.
And that's the thing, Olivia, because the other teams in the group you mentioned, they're not the strongest opposition, and people would have been expecting us to win, but Sweden and Finland, definitely, like the scale of their wins, I think it was 3-4-0 they bet them, so it was incredible how clinical, and what I liked about the performance, they kept going, like they didn't stop after 3-4-0, they kept going.
Yeah, well, I was listening to Vera's comments after, and at half-time, as I said, we were up 4-0, but she asked them to be ruthless. And she couldn't have asked for anything else, because that's exactly what Ireland were. They were ruthless. And in a campaign like this, they need to be, because Sweden and Slovakia and Finland are their nearest rivals. And as you said, I think Sweden only beat them 3-0 and Slovakia only beat them 2-0, so looking at it that way, it's brilliant for the girls. They were ruthless.
And looking at the group now, it looks like we had Sweden and Tala, and they were we put up a really, really credible performance against them.
Yeah.
So realistically, it's going to be a battle between Finland and Slovakia and ourselves. How do you think we're positioned now? We've moved into second place, but a couple of tough games coming up in the new year. How would you assess our chances of getting that second place?
Well, the Slovakian game, which I was at, I found the girls, they could have been more ruthless. I found that the Slovakian manager did his homework. Because he stopped Grania and Katie coming up the wing, and you know, that's where we get a joy out of us coming up the wing. And I just thought, like, it could have been changed that way, that we could have like counter-attacked the way they were counter-attacking us at some parts in the game. Do you know? So to me, like, the Sweden game, I thought we deserved at least a draw out of the game. And the Finland game, I think Finland, when they come here, they are going to press and press and press. So I think they will be a bit defending for most of the game and probably trying to counter-attack. But to be in second position going into next year, it's a great feeling. And the girls will go in to the April game against Sweden with full of confidence. You know, but Slovakia, I think, will be a bogey game away.
Yeah.
The Slovakian game, to me, will be the girls' biggest challenge, I think, because the Finland game is at home. When you're at home, you get, you know, confidence and you build on confidence. It's the away game that I feel worried about, the Slovakian game. I'm not really worried about the Sweden game, because I think the girls might actually get something out of that game, because I thought they should have got something out of the Sweden game. As you said, they defended brilliantly, but they also had their chances as well.
And it's incredible as well. Like, I was just looking before I was chatting to you, I was looking at the RT, and they were saying that the viewership figures for the match last night, a peak, 340,000 people tuned in. Yeah. So it's incredible. Like, to think back in your day, the interest was very low. So it is such an incredible change. And the interest is, and even I think there was over 3,000 there in Talla, which the conditions were horrible. It was a wet, miserable Tuesday night. So it is really incredible, the interest that is growing in Irish women's soccer.
That's absolutely brilliant, Patrick. Like, to me, last night, if that had been a summer's night, I think Ireland had probably got about 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 at the game, you know. And as you said, the peak, the people watching Jordan game was 290,000, and then at the peak it was 340,000 people actually watching Ireland ladies playing, which is phenomenal for Ireland ladies football, you know, because, as you know, they're getting all the publicity now, they're getting the exposure, and it just needs to keep on continuing and continuing. You know?
Yeah, it's kind of a pity. I wish there was another game coming up, and I was just thinking about it would be great after, because the buzz after that game, a record win against Georgia, it would have been great maybe if the Slovakia game, if they had the Georgia game first and then the Slovakia game, because there's such momentum and interest now. It's a kind of pity. I don't think their next game now is until April away to Sweden, so it is a pity that they have a long wait for their next qualifying game.
It is a long wait, and Katie McCabe was asked that question last night, would you like to be playing Georgia or Slovakia this weekend, and she says under the circumstances we'd love to, because of the result we got tonight, we go into that game with full of confidence. But unfortunately, they haven't got a game on next year, because as you do, you build on confidence, and they're glowing with confidence at the moment after that result last night.
And Katie McCabe, her delivery, like, it was great watching her yesterday, because she was attacking the whole time, because Georgia were defensive, but her delivery was just absolutely, it's just incredible. I think she was involved in most of the goals. Like, she's a special, special player.
I think Lisa Fallon, she was 4 assists and 4 goals, but to me, she was like an assist for every single goal, because every time you look, she was passing and getting the ball across. But this is what I was saying, the Slovenians stopped her doing that. And this is why I was saying that if you could change it up, like, she moved Katie over to the right side last night, and the joy she had of playing, like, she came in on her left foot and scored a cracker. You know, so this is what I was thinking, that you need to, the Georgians obviously didn't do their homework, because the joy she had going up and down that, like, every single commentary that was mentioned was Katie, because she gets so many assists, she got so many balls in, and I think Corden, Denise O'Sullivan were absolutely world class last night.
No, I was watching the two of them, and it's not to just single out them two, because it is a really, really good team, but they are world class, and it'd be great to see them at the stage. And Denise is she moved up to the second highest top scorer, but she's a while to wait. She's moved up to 16 goals, so
16,
so she has a lot of work to do to catch up with you, Olivia.
I was listening to Tony Dunne, who asked her the question, and she was like, well, that's Olivia, you know. I'd love somebody to even get 25-30 goals for Ireland, you know, and it will happen, because, like, Denise is young, Katie is young, and there's Jess Sue. The girl had a phenomenal game last night.
Yeah.
She walked up and down that line. She was holding, even Fatty was in sync. She, like, 16 years of age to play for your country and seen her game, you know. And I think the girl up front, Corsa, is it?
She
had a brilliant game as well. I know she didn't score, but she had a great game. And as Farah was saying last night in the interview, that's what she asked her to do. She wanted to push the defence so much back to their box, but to give her a midfield to play the way they play. And their midfield played brilliant last night. I think every single person played brilliant last night. There wasn't one fault in one girl. Even the substitutes that come on. But what I really, really got pride of, and looking at it, was the WNL game coming on.
Yeah, yeah.
It was absolutely brilliant. And for Saoirse Noonan to score a first goal. Yeah. And there was three first debuts there last night. And two of them scored, you know. So it was brilliant.
Mm. And it's great, Olivia, for when the U Women's National League starts up, I suppose, early next year. It's great for players that, you know, that might be on the fringes. They saw that last night and they'd be saying, listen, there was a few players. You mentioned Jessie Zhu. She had a great game. Saoirse Noonan, you mentioned, she came on. So it's a great encouragement that there is players in our domestic league that are getting their chances for Ireland, which I think is absolutely brilliant.
And rightly so, Patrick, you know, because they deserve it. Like, I've watched Saoirse Noonan all season. The girl is on fire since she moved to Shelbourne from Cork. And I've watched Jess as well, going up and down the wing for Shelbourne. And, like, Kayla Grant, come on, that girl's phenomenal as well in midfield. And it's great to see them coming on because it tells me that girls don't have to go away to England and America to play for their country now. You know, they can stay at home. They're going to be picked. The manager is looking at them. If you're good enough, you'll be in the squad. I mean, a few people were very surprised with that squad last night, but it worked. It worked phenomenally. Like, every girl that got that chance took over open hand.
And there, as well as that, like, what I like about them, there's a real connection with the fans, and they all seem come across really, really well. Like, I was very impressed with Katie McCabe after her. She just seems to be a phenomenal person. And after her interview, she said she wanted to mention the frontline workers. So they just seem to be a great team, very united, and great role models for
They're stepping up to the plate because, as you know, Patrick, they have to be role models for these talks. Like, Katie was being interviewed, and all I could hear in the background was kids, Katie. So she's a superstar to these little girls. And these little girls want to be like Katie, but they also want to be like Saoirse and Jess, that they can play in Ireland. So what me now, the feeling I'm getting, we're going to get more crowds at the WNL game because they know these girls are playing there. You know, so that's, and there is a great camaraderie there. You can see it, they're all together. They're all fighting for one another, and it's brilliant.
And the Shelbourne, you mentioned you went to a few. Do you go to all the Shelbourne matches?
I go to as many as I can. I've gone to Bowes at Lawn. I've gone to Cork. I've gone to Cork Peamills. I go to every game when I get a chance to do it because I'm doing a little bit of scouting for the FAI.
Okay, brilliant, yeah.
Yeah. And I just have, what I see, I give on to the FAI. And, you know, so, like, to me, I've seen girls on under 19 age groups playing. And I've seen, I'd say, in the past year that I've looked, there's at least 10 to 12 girls that have captain material for Ireland. And they're only 14 and 15 years of age. You know, so that's the thing that I love about giving the FAI, this girl is brilliant, they're having a look and they're bringing her into camps and she's building. They're building there, you know. So that's what we need to do, Patrick. We need to build from grassroots up.
And you would have been in Tolka Park. I went down myself the last day of the season, and I have to say it was one of the most incredible. Like, I've heard, I've heard from watching, hearing about football, watching football in England, and hearing people talk about the excitement of last-minute drama. I never experienced that, but, like, it was just, like, even to think about it, like, Shelbourne were 4 points behind Piemont with two games to go. The last game was truly incredible. Just a recap, people not aware, Shelbourne needed to win and Piemont to slip up. And Piemont were playing Galway. And you would have thought that, they would have been favourites. And Shelbourne turn it around on the last day of the season. They win 3-2 in the end, which was nervy.
It was nervy. I was there. It was very nervy for them the last 10 minutes.
But that was an incredible night, and I loved, there was a great crowd there, and the atmosphere was, it was just a really, really special night. And I remember Saoirse Noonan going up to the crowd to get the crowd going. It was just a real, real special night, and that shows the potential for the Women's National League.
Yeah. I was actually there that night myself, Patrick, and I was standing there, and as you said, when Saoirse Noonan scored, she ran over to the crowd and she was at her arms to get them going, and they all responded to her, you know. So that's the good thing about it. But that is the most dramatic end of a league campaign I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Where P-Mount, they didn't throw her away. To me, Galway, they probably didn't start off good during the season, but they got stronger and stronger and stronger because they played Shelbourne twice, and Shelbourne only beat them 1-0. And they played P-Mount during the season, and P-Mount beat them 4-0. So people automatically expected P-Mount to win that game.
Yeah.
So then when we were standing there during the game, it was 1-0, 2-0, 1-all, 2-all. Then it was 3-2, and then it was 4-2, and then it was 5-2. And I was like, what is happening?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it just doesn't happen to P-Mount, you know what I mean? But it actually did, and the girls, when the ref blew the whistle in Shelbourne, Pearsall actually still didn't realise that they were at the winning. She said, is that game over? And we were all like, yeah, it's over, he has won.
Yeah.
You know, so they're the things that, like, you need to happen in a league.
Mm-hmm.
For people to be so close to winning it, and this from 1 point to 3 points, you win the league if you win a game.
Mm-hmm.
The last game of the season, you need that in the league for the excitement, for people to turn up and go.
And do you think, like you mentioned, you go to a lot of the matches, and you mentioned Galway there, you feel they're improving. Do you feel next year going into the league, it will be a lot more competitive, because it always seems to be P-Mount? Do you see anyone else coming up next year?
I can actually see Galway is improving big time. Athlone will be a sort of a dark horse, because they did start off well as well, but then they fell during the end of the season, which could have been down from injuries to girls and, you know, stuff like that. But Bohemians played well as well.
Mm-hmm.
They finished off the campaign brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but I think I give it three or four teams the end of the reckoning for the league next year, I reckon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which one? And it will be P-Mount, Wexford, DCU. They need a dark horse as well, because I thought they came into themselves as well at the end of the season, and that proved at the second last game of the season when they played P-Mount.
Mm-hmm.
When P-Mount had a 4-point advantage, they drew with them, and you know, so I think to be P-Mount, Wexford, DCU, Galway, probably at least 5 teams being for the running for the league next year, which is great, because you need a bit of competition. You don't want to be going out and beating teams 6 and 7-0.
Yeah.
You know, you need a competition.
Yeah, well, hopefully next year will be a good year. I just ask you, lastly, before I let you go, Olivia, I know you're a big, when I was talking to you last, you were telling me you're a big Man United fan, so what do you reckon of, it's been such a, the way I look at it, things can only get better. It's been
better.
A horrible few months. What do you think of the new manager coming in now, hopefully next week? What do you think will things improve?
The first thing is, I actually didn't know who this man was. I've never heard of him. Never. And when his name came up, I googled and I got a bit of information on him, and he actually got Thomas Tuchel into coaching because he had a bad injury when he was young. He did his ACL and he persuaded him to do the coaching badges, and look where he is now. He's the manager of Chelsea and also Klopp on Sky Sports. We need to be aware that this manager is coming into our league. So to me, that's just brilliant for Man United, but there's an awful lot of work to be done with Man United at the moment, you know. So but I'm looking forward to the season ahead, see what happens, and when he comes in, he shakes it up. See will Ronaldo, they're all about this Ronaldo, will he press?
Yeah.
I think if you ask Ronaldo to sit on the lamppost, he'll do it.
Yeah.
You do it for the club, you know.
Yeah.
Every player is at the end of the day, a team is a team. There's not no I in team.
Yeah.
So I think he'll do anything that this manager will ask him to do for the team.
Yeah, I think Ronaldo gets a bad rap sometimes. Did I see you? I posted on Twitter. You got was it Addison, the girl that ran on the pitch? You got
yes, I did. I hunted her out.
So you got pictured with the jersey.
Yeah, it was actually the night of the Shelbourne league, when they won the league that night.
Right, yeah.
The Shelbourne Maxford game, and yeah. I said, Terry, have you got your jersey? She says, yeah, can I have a picture? And she was like, yeah. And I got me picture and I smelled the aftershave was actually still on it. And
wow, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's phenomenal, even just like touch his jersey.
Yeah.
No, and she's a great little girl, great. That's another superstar that will be playing for Shelbourne.
Well, it was just brilliant. It was a brilliant moment because it was funny watching the, like, I was talking to people that were at that match and they were saying Ronaldo was booed all the match, and then suddenly the fans see what he's after doing, and and I think, you know what, I think that showed a human side to him, you know, because
exactly.
You know, he saw, you know, he has children himself, and it was a really, really nice moment. Like,
and it was lovely that he actually pulled her into him. He gave her a hug. He was giving her a hug. The stewards was trying to drag her away, and he was like, no. And then when he took off his jersey, I think the whole stadium went in uproar, He's very good. I think he's a very humble person.
No, I think,
and he does an awful lot for charity.
I think so. Sometimes I think what happens, people get reputations, and I've always hear Roy Keane talking about him, and Roy Keane doesn't like many players. He always talks very highly of him. So
Well, you did. You obviously heard that debate with him and Jamie Carragher.
It was probably I have to say it was one of the most entertaining. I just switched it on because I think it was actually watching the cup final, the Pats and. Pats and Bowls.
Right,
yeah, and I just switched. I just was in stitches laughing. It was just great entertainment.
It was brilliant. It was great television.
Yeah, I think Keane is just like, there was rumors he was going into I'm a Celebrity. Which would have been great entertainment. But
imagine him going into I'm a Celebrity. Like, I mean, he just doesn't. He doesn't take false people. He doesn't believe in false people. He's out straight. And this is why people love him as a pundit, because he tells the truth.
Yeah, no, he's just a fascinating character. Listen, Olivia, I'll let you go. It's been great to talk to you again. Really brilliant to talk to you. I think it's safe to say your record is safe for another while.